www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
This is your overnight KIIC weather update for Bussey, Cedar, Milo, and all of Southern Iowa. Your skies for the overnight are mostly cloudy with a low 54, with a partly sunny Tuesday ahead, the high of 70. With your Tuesday overnight skies being mostly clear, the low 50, bring you to a sunny Wednesday, the high of 74, with mostly clear skies in the overnight, the low 51.
For Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, with your host, Pat Powers, here's Just Start Talking.
Hi, everybody. I'm Pat Powers, news director here at KIIC. And, of course, it's What's Up, Albia? And Just Start Talking. We're taking care of two items with one stone. With me, of course, is Harry Smith, a well-known news broadcast man for a couple of major networks and, of course, cable as well. Mr. Smith, thanks for being with us here.
It's a pleasure being here, Pat.
I am so grateful, so grateful. We'll dive into it a little bit about where you grew up at. And you're going to have some activity in Central Iowa at Central College.
Right.
But where did you grow up at?
So I grew up just south of Chicago. There's a couple of Dutch enclaves. Way, way back in the day, there was one in the south side of Chicago in Roseland, and then down below that in South Holland, and down below that, all across northwest Indiana, kind of stream of a bunch of Dutch churches there. My father's father's name was Smit when he came over on the boat from Groningen, and then my mother's family name is Kuistra. So I couldn't be anymore. I am as Dutch as they come.
Yes, you are.
And as I grew up in the old Dutch church, well, it wasn't so many years before I came along that they were still worshiping from the Psalter in Dutch in the churches in my neck of the woods. But it was English by the time I came along. And I'd had a very good senior year playing football. And I thought, well, the place I would end up is at Central College because it was affiliated with my church. And that, you know, lived happily ever after that.
I'll be darned. I wondered what the connection was because it's like, how can a guy from Chicago end up in Central College in Pella, Iowa? But
well,
that explained it.
Part of it, Pat, is where I grew up, everything north and east of us was industry and people.
Right.
And everything south and west of us was farms and forest. And so farming, I grew up, listen, I'm in junior high school and my dad turns to me one day, he says, you know what you're doing tomorrow? And I said, no. He says, I do. He says, you're going to go to work at Herman Zeldenrest's farm. And we used to joke that Zeldenrest meant seldom rest in English. But it was a big vegetable farm, and you went out there as a kid, and you did a lot of dumb stuff, and my father was not a person with whom you could negotiate, right?
Right.
So it was not one of those, hey, Dad, I'm not sure this farm thing is working out for me. So I went to work there, and I worked there every summer through my, freshman year of college. So that was a great, great place to kind of really understand a lot of life's lessons, not the least of which was if you've got a work ethic, you're going to be okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Farm ethic makes a lot of people around here the same way. So you're in Central College. You're taking communications and theater.
That's what the major was called
back
in the day. It's now communications. A lot of what I took was communications as a social science, but some of it was also some speech sort of related courses. And but I also took a lot of theology. Some of my professors were kind of trying to push me towards seminary. I took a lot of different kinds of courses. Courses in English, I took sociology, I took a lot of psychology. I really took advantage of that sort of liberal arts opportunity of just this wide, wide variety of study.
So sports-wise, though, you were in track Am I correct?
No, I played football.
Football, okay.
Pat, don't mess with me.
Okay.
I can get into the three-point stance right now. I can't guarantee that I can get out of it. I will be ready to face off with you at a drop of a hat.
So was it Coach Skipper's then?
Absolutely.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Skipper was it. I had offers from bigger schools and state schools, and I thought, well, Pella, and it's Dutch, and it's the Reform, old Reformed Church, and here's Coach Skipper, who just was, you know, I mean, he literally became a kind of a second father to me. And, I may have messed up here a little bit just talking about it, because we got to be very, very, very close. Quick story. So, it's not all that many years later. I'm on morning TV in New York, you know, for the country, doing a national show, and we came out, so it would have been the 88 elections. 88? Wait a minute. 88, 92, 96. Anyway, yes. Okay, I'm losing my mind now. Anyway, well, I'd only been on the air not a very, very long time, and we were covering the Iowa caucuses. And I came out to do the show. We were broadcasting from the law library. Is that the building? It's the most beautiful building in the Capitol.
Okay,
there's
yes.
a law library
sure.
there, right? And we're in the Capitol and we're in the library, I guess it was. Just drop dead beautiful. And we've got stuff all set up there and everything else. And Skipper just walks in, walks past security, walks past everybody else, plops down, and sits there and just like, well, I'm supposed to be here, right? I don't have the details on that correct, because it's probably 40-something years ago, or almost 40 years ago. But I just never forget it. And I have a picture of it someplace of, you know, we have this big setup there and everything else. And he just walked in and plopped down and said, I'm going to watch Harry Smith.
How
I'm going to
cool
watch my
that?
Old player go to work.
That is phenomenal.
So cool.
That is really, really awesome.
Right?
We'll get into a little more politics later on.
No, watch out.
At what point in the juncture, though? I mean, as when you got out of college, you started in radio in
absolutely.
Denver. Talk about that.
So I had really done a lot. We had a college radio station at the time, and I used to tell any of my friends, if you don't want to do your shift, I'll do it. I really kind of fell in love with radio as a kid growing up. Don't follow this example, but as a kid, I was not a very good high school student. And I would open my books, and I'd look, and I'd read the stuff, and I'd see the questions, and I'd say, boy, that question, it seems ambiguous to me. And I close the book, I go turn on the radio very softly, and one of my older siblings had sold encyclopedias, and I had a set of encyclopedias in my room. So instead of doing my homework, I would sit there like this with the encyclopedia late at night, listen to the radio, we kind of close them up. I just, you know, there was something about, especially listening, we used to call it DXing. And you would sit there late at night and just very, very slowly go up and down the dial.
Right.
And from South Chicago, I could hear stations in New York. I could hear stations in Detroit. I could hear stations, well, absolutely, I could hear the Grand Ole Opry coming from Nashville on Saturday night. I could, you know, there was, you could reach all over the country, WOI as it was in
sure.
San Antonio.
Right.
So I was that kid doing that and sort of imagining what that world was like. WWL from New Orleans. They had like a show on from a hotel ballroom every Saturday night.
I'll be doing.
And I was just like, I wonder what must that be like? Who are those people there?
Right.
Right? So I had kind of a fascination with radio, and I went to KNIA. I knocked on their door, and I said, do you need somebody to write copy? Do you need anybody to do, you know, who knows what? And I wrote copy for D&D Pump and Pipe, which is still in business.
Yes, they
thanks
are.
To my great advertising writing 50 years ago. And there was a veterinarian who passed away in 1973 named, it was called Doc Crawford. And Doc Crawford and I would do girls' high school basketball games together. And KNIA at the time was a daytime station. I don't know, they came on at dawn and went off at dusk, right? It was a daytime radio station. But Doc Crawford and I would take our woolen sack reel-to-reel tape recorder to the high school gyms that were also the auditoriums, set up on the stage there, and record the game, which would be replayed the next afternoon.
Yes.
And even though everybody knew the score,
right,
they wanted to hear their daughter's name on the radio.
Absolutely.
So they would listen. Yeah. So that was me tiptoeing into the media business.
Of course, we're talking with Harry Smith here on our edition of What's Up, Albie, and Just Start Talking. And so from Denver, you went to Cincinnati then for a little bit of time.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, as I was coming down, I'm listening to your radio station, and I'm listening to KIIC, and I just started running all these memories. When I was in Cincinnati, I did the all-night show. Cincinnati was WLW. It's a 50,000-watt clear channel station on the AM dial, and it reached 28 states at night, right? And into Canada. And Cincinnati had a WHA hockey team at the time, so all the hockey players' parents could hear the games all the way up in Canada.
Yep.
It was amazing. Anyway, that was a wild experience, and I went off the air at, I guess I went off the air at about 5:30, and that's when the Farm Report came on. And it was funny, as I'm driving down, I was remembering leading into the Farm Report. And I can't remember the guy's name, but the woman's name was Devana Oscarson. And that was a big deal that they had a woman
right.
as part of the farm reporting team. And they did all the numbers from all the different big sale barns and stuff like that.
Sure.
And that was part of my broadcasting experience.
Wow. Cool. So then you went to Denver, if I'm not mistaken.
Went back to Denver again.
And got into TV there then.
Well, my career started to take off a little bit. And I don't recall myself as ever being particularly good on the radio, but I was good enough. And I worked my way up to an afternoon drive show on a very popular radio station. It was a pop adult station, and everybody seemed to listen to it. And they didn't have really much of a format. You know, we played some American classics like Frank Sinatra and Rosemary Clooney, but we also played the Beatles and who knows what all else. And I started interviewing people on the air. And when the senators or the Congress people would come back to town, I'd have them on the air. I'd get the mayor on the air. I'd get the, you know, basketball players from the Denver Nuggets on there. You know, whoever. I would just start to do that sort of thing. And I kind of really fell in love with that. And I was really stricken by, I did the Sunday night public affairs show that no one wanted to do. Way, way back in the day, if to have a broadcast license, you had to do a certain amount of public service programming to justify your license. Okay.
I'll be darned. Interesting.
So Sunday night was this wasteland of get to know the dog catcher, you and the zoning board. I mean, it was show after show after show like that. So I volunteered to do that show.
Okay.
And everybody said, "You are crazy." And I said, "If I can make the zoning board guy good, if I can make him interesting, then I'm really going to learn how to interview a little bit." So that was sort of my tactic, because I realized over time I couldn't play records for a living.
Okay.
Because I didn't really care that much about the music.
Right.
I cared about everything else but the music. And that's how I started to move my career away from sort of the disc jockey stuff into more of news and public affairs.
Wow. Baby
it's
steps.
It's a saga.
Well, that's cool.
Believe me, I'll tell you, there are moments. I worked in a pop adult station for a while. It was a top 40 station, I should say. And I got fired from that place a couple of times over about a 9-month period. And You used to record your shows on the reel-to-reel, and we called them air checks. And that was how, if you wanted to get another job, you sent the air check off to another station, right? So I get fired this one day, and I get off the air, and he says, did you do this, and did you do that, and why were you doing that? Why were you doing that? Yeah, that was me. I did all that. And so, and that was the beauty of Denver back in the day, because you're in what was then a big town. But it was a place you could literally skin your knees or fall on your face and not have it cost you your career.
Right.
So it's way too big time now. But back then, it was still a little sleepy. Stapleton Airport was a nightmare.
Right.
You know? And it was right on the edge of the neighborhood I lived in, right? It was crazy. So I would be sitting on the stoop with my I would steal candy bars because they had a big candy bar giveaway and they didn't pay enough money. So I'd have my candy bars and my reel tapes in a box and waiting for somebody to pick me up to give me a lift home. And the guy would come out and, you know, I'd be sitting out there for 45 minutes waiting for a ride. There were no Ubers and no cabs.
Right.
And the guy'd come out 45 minutes later and says, well, what are you doing tomorrow at 10 a.m.? I said, well, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll be sitting home. He says, well, I can't find anybody to take your place. You're rehired again.
All's well that ends well, right?
Right. So just don't do that stupid stuff again. Well, you are bringing back a lot of crazy. Some of this stuff I haven't thought about in a long time. Really something. Wow.
Good.
Crazy journey.
So I'm talking with Harry Smith here on our edition of What's Up, Albion, our Just Start Talking episode. And so you made this big jump into CBS. So you're with CBS. And
yeah.
Talk about how, you know, you got into that and now you're, quote unquote, into a big time position.
So I tell you what, it went really quick. What ended up happening was, so as I did this afternoon drive and it became, listen, I remember interviewing then Senator Gary Hart on my radio show, and a guy from NBC News came in with a crew to tape us doing this interview, right? And I thought, I want to be over there, not over here. And, you know, wheels are turning, how are we going to get there? As I had this afternoon drive radio show, I got a public affairs show on the public TV station that aired once a week. So I'm making that step,
yes,
you know, toward TV. And I used that, and I would do some writing for the local weekly free paper to, you know, just these were the skills that I felt like I had to develop, learn how to write better. And I get this public TV show. I get a job working in local news that was then the CBS affiliate. And I started winning awards, right? I got some local Emmy awards. And like, I was there 5 or 6 years, or 4 or 5 or 6 years. I have no idea. And I started sending tapes to the network. And the next thing I know, I was pretty sure I was never going to get a network job. I love Colorado. We used to climb 14ers on the weekend. These, you know, there are 50 some mountains in Colorado that are 14,000 feet or more.
Right.
And in the summer, the summits are all accessible without technical gear.
Sure.
So that was like a great, great outlet back in the day.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I get this job from CBS. I was barely there 2 years. I had taken Russian in high school, and I wanted to go. I was fixing to go. I was getting ready to go to the Moscow Bureau to take over the Moscow Bureau in 98. Would have been January 98. And in the fall of 97, they called and they said, we want you to take over the morning show. We're doing a new morning show. Well, CBS, as you know, they do a new morning show like every 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, back then it was like, who's hosting this week? And I turned to my wife. I says, I do not want to be an anchorman. I've done a lot of crazy stuff in my life, and I love reporting. I love reporting. And she said, basically, they offer this job. And she said, I'm not sure you can say no to this. You're at CBS not even 2 years. You're going to tell them, you don't want this big job. I want to be a reporter. So that's when I started anchoring. I took it quite reluctantly.
Well, you know, that with that particular job, you were on Face the Nation as well.
And used to fill in for Bob Schieffer a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about that on the political side, talk about how you can maintain the balance. You're supposed to be neutral, you know, and it's political hotspot. Talk about saying, hey, I'm going to toe the line right down the middle.
You know, my thought process, and I'm not sure it was the journalistically correct thought process, but I always thought part of my job was to try to keep the ball in the middle of the fairway, right? And I'm not, I don't think you always succeed. I think some of your biases are going to break through from time to time, but I really worked hard against that. You have a job to do, and one of the things that I'm trying to do in the course I'm teaching it at Central is there's no such thing as too much homework to do, right? You can't prepare enough. And so when I had those kinds of situations, I had to just work like the devil to be as prepared as humanly possible. And, I feel like I won more than I lost in terms of being successful at it. But, you just do the best you can.
Now, you also had something called Travels with Harry.
That was great.
Now, talk about the most interesting item or place that you went to on that.
Well, so what ended up happening, we did that for a number of years at CBS. And then I went to A&E and the History Channel for a while. We kept doing it there. And then I took a job in doing a magazine show at NBC, which was Rock Center with Brian Williams. They said it was going to be on the air for 3 years, and I think we were on the air for about 15 months. that's the other thing we teach in this class is, you know, this new job, they say it's going to be this. Well, it turns out it's actually be something a little different than
right.
that, right? And
right.
you had better be adaptable. Anyway, I have always done a lot of reporting, and the Travels with Harry and those other kinds of stories have been the most meaningful thing that I've done in my career. Because as opposed to trying to get politicians to give you a straight answer on Sundays, I would rather meet... just driving down here today, being on a farm-to-market road, right... taking in the scenery. The topography south of Pellet changed like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm in dreamland, right? I see deer. I see cattle everywhere as I'm first coming down. There are other places in Iowa you don't see an animal on the ground anymore,
right?
Right? All this stuff is going through my mind. Who lives there? Who did that? Oh, well, look at that. They're doing prairie strips over there, right? I can see these things, and I want to know what motivates them and what the engine is inside of them.
Sure.
So all of those things were about going someplace and meeting someone that you probably weren't going to see on the front page of the paper.
True.
Right?
Very much so.
I'll tell you what, to this day, there are people that I've met along those lines that have just stuck with me.
Sure.
Stuck with me. One of the best ones at CBS, way, way, way back in the day, there was a guy way, what they would say, down east in Maine, which is way, way, way up the, well, the Bay of Fundy goes up that way, and way up the Bay of Fundy, where the tides are crazy, like 6, 8, 10, 12 feet sometimes. So, this guy, the guy's name was Barnon Norton, and he had a little boat, and he, if you went out in the, if you hired onto his boat, you could go out into the Bay of Fundy, and you could look at puffins and the birds and the things that are a little different up there. So Barnon Norton's claim to fame was that his family had legal claim to a tiny island out there in the Bay of Fundy. And he said, Canada took it illegally from his family.
Okay.
So he said that he was at war with Canada.
Mercy.
So we went to war with Barna Norton in his little putt-putt boat. It was actually a little more, it was substantial because it could handle the seas. But it was, you know, out into the Bay of Fundy. And we landed on the island. And he took the American flag and he planted it.
Oh, my.
And he says, I'm at war. At which point, he would go in to a little hut there where the Canadian Coast Guard had a little station. And they would have tea and they would, play cards. I said, this is a real civilized form of warfare. He'd finish his tea, they'd finish their card game, he'd go back in the boat and back to the shore he went.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? You can't make this stuff up.
It's great.
Right?
It's great.
He was probably the exemplar as maybe one of the greatest ones ever. Barna Norton. And then we volunteered to pay for his gas. He did that, you know, he spoke in that kind of Mainerese, and I'm just kind of a dumb fella. That gas bill took every dollar I had in my pocket.
I'll be darned.
He had the hook in me.
Talk a little bit about your cooperating work with Andy Rooney. Do you have any Andy Rooney stories?
So there was a period of time. There were a couple old-timers there that really were really great to me. Charles Kuralt was one of them, one of the great. When I first got to CBS, Sunday morning, that show Sunday morning had been on the air for a while, but not forever. And as a local reporter in local news, I lived to get a story on Sunday morning. If I said, if I ever get to the network, all I want to do is get a story on Sunday morning.
I'll be darned.
And I will never forget, I was at CBS a couple of months, and it was an anniversary of a horrible natural gas explosion out in the oil patch out in East Texas. And it was horrendous, horrendous, horrible thing. And more than 100 people died. It happened like right underneath the local school. It was horrendous. It was this 50th anniversary, and they were inviting survivors back and family members of those who had lost loved ones. It was tough stuff. And we're standing outside the local church where there was a memorial service on Sunday morning. And this woman of a certain age comes walking down the steps. And we're in the kind of median there in front of the church. And she is walking toward us. We've got the camera on and we're just taking our pictures. And she says, "And where are you young men from?" And I said, "Well, my name is Harry Smith, and we're here doing a story for Charles Kuralt and Sunday morning." And she says, "Sunday morning. I love that program." She said, "When the birds sing, I know it's time to go to church."
That is gold right there.
I said, "I made it. I made it. And I'll just never forget that morning. When she said, when the birds sing, I know it's time to go to church. That's like how many people in America, right?
Bless your heart.
Oh my God, yeah. Anyway, so Charlie Kuralt was great. Randy Rooney was, both of those guys were guys who I felt like they were inside the tent and they were holding the flap open for me, saying, "Come on in, buddy. We are birds of a feather here."
Good deal.
Yeah,
good
absolutely. Deal.
Of course, this is Harry Smith here for our edition of What's Up, Albia? And Just Start Talking. And so then you made the bump after 25 years. You went to NBC and
talk about
that shift, you know, when one door closes, another one opens.
Well, that one was open wide. They were starting a magazine show, and they came after me hard, NBC did. And I said to myself, I'm not sure anybody else is going to start a new magazine show again. And they said, "We're going to compete with 60 Minutes, and we want you," and flattery will get you somewhere.
Well, I was just going to say, that had to make you feel great.
It felt great, yeah. So I said, "We'll take a shot." And I got there, and I'll never forget walking into the building. I said, "I've never even been in the building before." And I'm looking at all this NBC stuff, and I thought, "Wait a minute, this is the enemy." I can't be working for the enemy. And
now you're talking to Rockefeller Center,
yeah. But with all the NBC logos inside and everything else. And people were great. People were so great and so welcoming. And we worked really hard, and we got some really good stories done. And in the end of the day, it kind of goes back to the farm.